Welcome to Entrepreneurs Unlimited with Mark Haney on KHTK Sports 1140 and HaneyBiz.com. Mark is a well-known local entrepreneur who has a passion for growing companies and uncovering the stories of other successful business people. Mark will share his and their experiences and hopes to ignite the entrepreneurial spirit within you. And now, here's Mark Haney.
Is there a more powerful force on earth than the human soul on fire? I do not think so. I am Mark Haney. I am a man on a mission to help create opportunity. And I'm talking about creating opportunity for my family, including the man sitting right here next to me who earned a Purple Heart fighting for our freedom. And I'm talking about creating opportunity for my friends, like the hardworking guy I got sitting right here to my left, Mr. Tom Cisneros. And I'm talking about creating opportunity for my community, for my hometown, for a town that I love, for the community that raised me. I'm talking about opportunity for Sacramento. It is my mission to help the next guy in line. I'm Mark Haney. I'm here with my partners, Tom Cisneros and Marcus Haney. How are you guys doing this morning? Are you guys ready to rock and roll?
I am fired up.
All right. I don't know how ready I am to rock and roll, but I do have a question, which is the same question I have every Saturday morning. I mean, what mission were you on last night since it was date night?
Well, that's a great question. Date night started off at the pizza parlor. And then I had to go home and watch the Giants game while my wife went to the Del Oro football game with everybody, and I did not make it there. And I got a good night's sleep, and I am here for you this morning. How about you, Marcus? You fired up?
I am always fired up here on a Saturday morning. Can't shut it off, baby. Let's get rocking and rolling.
Tom Cisneros is always trying to change the subject. We're talking about mission statement here. And have you guys ever been involved in a mission statement?
Well, my mission is to find new ways to disappoint my wife between, say, 10 at night and 6 a.m.
Marcus, how about you? You ever been involved in creating a mission statement or executing on a mission statement?
Yeah, well, when we started Limitless last year, we had Brian and I sat down and came up with a mission statement, and that is to provide all of our clients with an unforgettable experience with the utmost professionalism,
reliability. It does get forgettable, though, doesn't it?
It sure does. It's a mouthful, but it looks good on the website.
You know, a mission statement, sometimes, you know, a mission statement can be just these words, right? It's kind of like wet in your pants. It feels nice and warm, but it doesn't do anything unless you jump on it and you execute it. A mission statement is nothing without the embracing of it and without the people to go in and execute. And
darn it.
Yeah. And, you know, I was thinking about mission statements today, and they've really sort of come in handy over the years. And the last one that I really worked on seriously was after we sold our company. After the transition, I took a week off and I wrote out a mission statement. And it all has to do with this opportunity, right, for my family, friends, and community. And as they succeed, I succeed in some way. And, you know, I started several businesses. We started the Allegiant Giving and with my Allegiant Giving buddies. And now I'm on the airwaves here at Sports 1140 KHTK. And opportunity really is all around us if we let our hearts open up to embrace that opportunity. And we're advancing the mission this morning. We will be bringing in Lisa Hansen in just a moment. She is the founder and CEO of Brilliant Learning. We will also be talking with legendary racer Bill McAnally of Bill McAnally Racing. And we'll have a couple of surprise guests calling in this morning as well. But coming up after the break, we will meet my friend John Barsotti. John founded the CEO. John is the CEO, and he founded the eco-friendly technology manufacturer, Heron Technologies. Join the conversation on Facebook Live. This is Entrepreneurs Unlimited, broadcasting from Sports 1140, streaming live, podcast, and YouTube at HaneyBiz.com. Welcome back to Entrepreneurs Unlimited, presented by Rockland Audi, serving the entire Sacramento region from its beautiful new freeway convenient location on Granite Drive, right across the street from me in Rockland. I am here today with John Barsotti, the founder and CEO of Heron Technologies. How you doing, John?
I'm doing well.
Good. I appreciate you coming on the show. We tried to get you on a few weeks back, but you had your sister's birthday party, and you had to go deal with that when she turned 40?
Oh, yeah. I think we'll leave that alone. Yeah. Spent the day in San Francisco.
Yeah, that was fun. I ended up going down there after the show. So, all right, John, let's hear about Heron Technologies. What is Heron Technology?
Well, it's Heron Innovators, and we market something called suspended air flotation. And it's a flotation water treatment technology for floating solids out of water. You know, when you can't filter it out, when you can't filter the water, and you have to take a rough cut to start. There's this.
I've
group
never
of
ran into that, John. It's
yeah,
never
it's
happened.
Pretty specialized.
Okay, so this is specialized equipment for what kind of use? I mean, who would use this water stuff?
It's wastewater mostly. It'd be industrial wastewater and municipal wastewater.
Okay, so you create equipment that processes this wastewater.
Well, we can reclaim it, but most of the time it's for discharge, right?
So, okay. Yeah. What does that mean? I'm sorry about that.
So
I didn't interrupt you. I'm sorry.
An industrial client might be discharging to a municipality, and they're trying to reduce their bill by taking solids out of the water. And then a municipal client's trying to meet some sort of discharge permit, and so they need to clean the water. We're in that terrain.
Well, who is a typical customer of Heron?
National Beef.
Okay.
The beef packing companies are, a lot of food processors are, and of course, a few municipalities.
Okay. And then what are the food? Okay. So the food processors, they use the water to do what?
So they use the water to process, you know, to clean their equipment.
Okay.
And you know, washed just a whole bunch of different processes in the plant that generate wastewater. And by taking the material out of the water before they discharge, they save on their sewer bill. Some of them actually reuse the water.
Okay, yeah. Okay. And you just flew in from Nashville. You do business all over the country, right? But you're based out of out of Rockland.
That's correct. Yeah.
Okay. And tell us about your mission. You know, today we've been talking about mission, and I know you've been in business for quite a while. Tell us about how you got started and really what the mission is of the organization.
Well, of course, it's to bring this new technology to market. Because I come from industry, I think I uniquely have a lot of customer service wrapped into that. So we really try to solve the problem for the customer using our technology.
And how did you get started in this wastewater thing?
Oh, it's sort of interesting. Any experience I had in wastewater before this was my first job out of college.
And then, out of UC Davis, right?
Right. Well, that's where I went to school. That's right. Yeah, and then I got a job with the government, and we were running a few wastewater plants there at McClellan Air Force Base. And then I left that, and I was an environmental health and safety guy for a number of years. And then a friend of mine, I never really did like the corporate culture in corporate America. So a friend of mine said, hey, I saw this new technology. He was an engineer. He says, why don't we get together and try to bring it to market?
You did not like the corporate culture. I've never heard that before. So you start your business, you get it going, and how did it take off?
Well, the reality is for years we've been, you know, one sale at a time has been pretty difficult. Just recently it started to move, and it has to do with, I like to say, you know, look at barriers to entry. And for us, it was, you know, proving the concept to people and scaling the equipment. And
right. There's nobody else really that does exactly what you do. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yeah.
And is there a way to leverage that into an advantage of any kind?
Oh, sure. So you can tell people what you do better than everybody else and why it's so unique. The challenge with it is getting people to believe you to the point where they're willing to buy it.
How do you do that, though?
So for us, the first step was we built a pilot trailer that not only could prove the concept, but could also prove scalability, that we could make a large one, right? We could treat a lot of water. So,
okay. Yeah. And so now your customers are all over the country, a lot of food processing people. Are you the main? What's your role in the organization, right? Because you have you got to build stuff, you got to sell stuff, you got to account for it, you got to keep the whole mission running. How do you do it? What do you do all day?
Well, fortunately, we are small enough, so everybody wears a lot of hats, and I probably wear more than most. So, I do a little bit of everything, but mostly I sell. And I count on a great staff to keep the rest of it going when I'm not there.
So. Nice. Now, tell us about your team.
So we have a mechanic. We have a mechanic who does a lot of project management. We have we have procurement folks. My wife actually helps with the books and does the office management stuff. My brother does a procurement, and then,
Tony,
then we
yes.
have yeah, and then we have several other folks in the company that you know, specialize in electronics, specialize in manufacturing, specialize in sales, that sort of thing.
I know Tony. You guys happened to coincidentally kind of lived around the corner from us as kids. We didn't know each other then, but I know you played chess with my older brother Byron. So I know
I played chess badly. Brian was an excellent chess player.
But you, your brother Tony and I are buddies, and he suggested that we talk. And your story's so unique. I think manufacturing in Rockland, which is not as it's not the place that somebody might think of as the right place to open up put out the shingle for a manufacturer.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think California generally is a tough place to start a manufacturing operation. And I think for me, it was because we have generations of family,
yeah.
So we just stayed here. So, and I've lived pretty much in California all my life, and usually flew out and did a lot of work out of the state.
What's it like to see your hometown, though, grow so much? I mean, we've had a lot of growth since you and I were kids.
Well, I worked in the Bay Area for 10 years. When I left, Roseville looked, this is in the 80s, right?
Yeah.
Roseville looked a lot like what I remembered growing up. When I came back, it was like a different city. I mean, there was miles and miles of road that didn't even have a name when I first left. So
yeah, yeah.
Roseville Parkway comes
in. Well, later in the show, we're going to have some people that are helping young people to chase their dreams. And you talk about family. And what were your early influences as you were growing up? I know your uncle was was a football coach of mine. Tell me about the early influences for John Barsotti.
Well, I think sports and my uncle was a big influence for me, you know. But, you know, the whole family was, we're immigrant Italians, right?
Yeah.
Everyone, hard work ethic, get it done kind of thing. And I think that works well if you're going to be an entrepreneur, right? If you're going to really.
Yeah, it does help, huh?
Yeah, I think we had that conversation before the show where I said it doesn't have a lot to do. I don't believe it has a lot to do with brains. It has a lot to do with perseverance.
Yeah, but you are a smart guy, right? You went to UC Davis. Your whole family's highly educated, and you had the entrepreneurial gene somehow. How do you think you got that?
Well, I always tended to be a mechanical kind of guy,
yeah.
So I always liked building things. But this whole entrepreneur thing is something. Starting a business is very different than that. What that helped me do is the know-how. When you bring a new technology to market, there's the technology, and then there's know-how, right? How to use that in the real world, and that's and I had that.
Well, what kind of people do you know? Talking, we have some young people listening to this show and thinking about how that next generation of entrepreneurs is going to kind of come up through, and we're trying to help the next guy in line a little bit with this show. I mean, what advice would you give to a guy thinking about starting his own business right now?
Don't do it the way I did. No, I think that. There's some lessons to learn from people like me that have made just about every mistake you can make. But I think first, you'll have a business idea, but you got to sell it. And so you need to understand what your barriers to entering the market are and how you're going to overcome those. And then I really recommend, if you're not a service business where you can do this, where you're going to get paid immediately for your efforts, you need financing.
Have the right financial
right.
backing, which you have. How long have you guys been in business?
20 years.
Yeah, 20 years. So you've probably made a few mistakes, as you mentioned. So what have been the biggest challenges? What are the biggest mistakes you've made?
Well, I tried to grow the business out of cash flow.
Okay.
Right? And so you got a technology. If you think about this, you got a technology where you're going out trying to get that first sale because no one's really believing what you're telling them. And you need that cash flow so you can buy groceries that week.
Right.
And so that's a tough way to live.
Yeah, yeah. So you had to. Yeah, that is. I can relate to that. Now, how have you overcome that challenge? I mean, what did you do?
I lived
a little bit more frugally.
Oh, sure. Well, I think everyone will. If you go down this road, even with financing, you're probably, unless, you know, you're somebody's going to start Intel or something like that.
Right, right.
Right, and you most of us that are trying to do this out of our backyard and grow business are going to live frugally for a few years.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, what I take out of this is really, you could be great at the product here, John. You're great at the ins and outs of your equipment and building and manufacturing. You know that stuff. But, I mean, if you don't have the right financial partner, the right financial backing, I'll plug Five Star Bank now that I mentioned that. But if you don't have the right financial partner and the right way that you can have some investment into your company, it is tough to scale your business. And on the other side, you really do need the right sales and marketing strategy to get it going, too. And it sounds like you're in the process of creating that now.
Yeah, I think we just got a lot of – this year, actually, it seemed like things really turned around for us. So.
What's the future look like for Heron Innovators?
It looks pretty bright. I mean, I don't know how else to say it, but we have a lot of very big-name customers that are showing interest and actually have committed to purchasing equipment. So we're really kind of bullish on the future.
Nice. Growing a manufacturing business right here in Sacramento. This is Entrepreneurs Unlimited. I want to thank you, John, for coming on the show today. I know it kind of flies by, but you are on a mission to grow that company, and I know that you're going to be successful. I know you have some proprietary products there, and we wish you the best of luck. When we return, we will be joined by Lisa Hansen, the founder and CEO of Brilliant Learning. Join the conversation on Facebook Live. This is Entrepreneurs Unlimited on Sports 1140 KHTK, streaming live, podcast, and YouTube at HaneyBiz.com. Welcome back to Entrepreneurs Unlimited, presented by Audi of Rockland. I'm Mark Haney, and today I am joined by Lisa Hansen, the founder and CEO of Growing Brilliant. How are you doing today, Lisa?
Good. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, you bet. I appreciate you coming down. I noticed you had your husband and your little girl are in the waiting area. Yeah, yep. They're waving at you right now.
Brought the entourage.
You know, I've always found that when I have my family around me, it puts me at ease. It makes me think about what's really important in life. And so hopefully today having those two right near us is going to get us both off on the right foot today. And I said your name incorrectly, and so I apologize earlier on. It is Growing Brilliant.
Yes.
So welcome to the show. And tell us a little bit about Growing Brilliant.
Yeah, so Growing Brilliant is a preschool and early learning center. We have locations in Rockland, Roseville, and also Folsom right now. And
in Rockland, that's how you and I met.
Yeah.
You won the Best of Rockland award along with Haney Garcia Realty Group. We won so I met you at it. Anyway, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but it's cool. You guys are doing a lot of cool, successful, getting noticed too out there. So anyway, go tell us about your company again. Sorry.
And those are great parties. No doubt. So the Rockland location is actually a little bit unique to the other two schools. We do full parent participation there. So the parents are coming with the children to the classes, and we have a set curriculum that's specifically for parents and children to experience together. A lot of music, learning sign language for the little ones, and then fun playtime where the kids can interact with other children their age in between the classes.
So you've got the office in Folsom, you've got the one on Sierra Gardens Drive in Roseville, and then the Rockland office. Why did you do it differently in Rockland?
That's where we started. So we started small. It's a smaller location, and that's where we kind of got going, and the need and the interest in having a full preschool, and for our teacher, you know, our teachers were always getting asked to babysit or, you know, be with the kids, and it was a big request, and that facility, you know, couldn't accommodate a full preschool. So then we started to look into other options of where we could expand Growing Brilliant into the preschool realm.
So at the other schools, what if I am a customer in the Folsom or Sierra Gardens school, what do I get? Is that what age would I take my child there?
So we do 6 weeks all the way up to 12 years at the Roseville location. We have a after-school program for older children, and then baby program, toddler program, full preschool also. And then the Folsom location just doesn't have the school age, but we do infants all the way through preschool.
Okay, so I'm just thinking about the name Growing Brilliant. Instead of daycare, right, Joyland or something like that, I don't know. I don't know anything about Joyland. You've named the company Growing Brilliant, which leads me to believe that the children aren't just babysat, they're taught things.
Absolutely.
What are they taught? What do you teach a little 6-month-old?
A lot.
you got to teach them. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so we have curriculum for every age group. And a big part of our curriculum is that the teachers have set learning goals and things that they want to accomplish with the children. But, you know, at the same time, you understand how children learn and that it's not through sitting at a table with a worksheet. It's, you know, through play and fun interactions. But the teachers have the standards and the knowledge behind them that they can create these fun learning experiences for the children, whether it be an awesome block tower where they bring in blueprints from a construction site or something like that. And they're learning about you know, geometry and construction. And
What age did you start with the geometry?
Well, learning shapes is geometry.
Oh, that's true. So very, you can learn that very early. Because some kids, I mean, do you find that some kids, you said they learn differently. I mean, I have grandkids, and I remember my kids, and some of them like to take the cars and crash them into each other. And other kids like to take the car and make it sail. And another kid might want to look underneath the hood to see, you know, how it, all the intricacies inside. How do you vary the curriculum for these different children?
So the teachers, we have amazing, wonderful, well-trained teachers that, and we also do professional development with them 2 times a year, and then we have monthly staff meetings where we talk a lot about that, you know, how to work with different students that have different learning styles in each classroom or, you know, just different needs in general. So the teachers are amazing at that and really kind of being able to identify what Johnny needs versus Susie and help guide them through that when they have the opportunity.
I would think, yeah, the teachers are so essential. The team is so essential. When I met you at the Best of Rockland event and the awards, I noticed your team. The first thing I noticed was this group of people, young women. So I, you know, kind of had to mosey over there and see what was happening. And they all love you. Your team loved you. You were so humble. You know, you didn't want to take any of the spotlight. But your team was, it was obvious that you're doing something right in the way of leadership. How would you describe your leadership style?
Well, I think a lot of it comes down to my team and really looking for people that can support you. And, you know, I started out in the beginning with possibly looking for someone who, you know, could be there just to, you know, be a support to just me. But really, it's a kind of a two-way street. So you want them to be able to support you and you want to be able to support them and help them grow and what they want to do. So I always find out what they, you know, what their personal mission is, what they're interested in, you know, where they want to be 5 years from now and how do they want to grow. And so we try to promote from within and start, you know, people out as teachers and then they grow, you know, with us. So our directors have been with us, you know, for a few years now, even though we're such a small business and they've really grown with us.
And you said, you used the term mission, which we kind of have that theme running through the show. Do you see, what kind of mission is a common theme for a teacher?
Yeah, I think just providing a really high quality program. And, you know, we have teachers that come from other programs just because, and, you know, the money is not necessarily the issue. It's that they just didn't really feel that that program was providing what they wanted for the children that they were in their care. So we get that a lot. And our teachers really believe in what we're doing. And they like that they're working with other like-minded people and people that truly care about education and working with the children.
Yeah, they want to help people, right? It's really, I would think that it's got to be such a rewarding occupation to be a teacher and with these young people, seeing them to develop. It's just got to be so, I guess, rewarding internally. But you've turned it into entrepreneurship. You're building a business. You've got 3 locations. I mean, is that scary? What's it feel like to be a growing company? And, you know, you're a young person, and you've grown this business. What's that feel like?
I honestly, it's less scary than when we had the original just 1 location. And I was doing everything and teaching every class.
Okay.
So now I have this team of people that, you know, we have support for each other. And, you know, really looking at the directors and they own their locations. And I'm just there to give advice and support them and, you know, update our policies if that's something that's needed. So it took a long time to get there and personally for myself to let go enough to get there and a lot of trust and having the right people. But it feels really good.
I love it. Together, you're so much more strong and you found the right teammates to help support your mission.
Absolutely.
Now, what is the, I mean, do you anticipate growth from here? What do you think growing, learning, you know, you talk about 5 years, right? What's growing brilliant? Gosh, I can't say the name right. What does growing brilliant look like in 5 years?
Well, we're definitely going to grow. I would like to be involved still in, you know, each location and still be able to be really hands-on with everything that we do. So it's going to be very strategic as to where everything happens and when. We do have in the works an Atomos location that'll be opening next summer. And that one is going to be really unique because it's going to combine the parent participation and the preschool in one building. So parents can come and do the parent participation classes at that location and then they can do preschool as well. So,
how helpful is it to have the parent participation part?
It's awesome.
I mean, the kids are they feel more safe because the parents there, or is that the way that they are able to take those skills and take them home so they can reinforce them? Why are the parents huge?
I think it's a lot of things. You know, one of them, when you look at a lot of the research on how early childhood children learn best, you know, some people will say, well, just let them play. You know, they'll figure it out. They can just play. But really where the research is it lies in adult interaction or an older child kind of showing them the way. So that's where a lot of the strong research is for early childhood education. So having that parent and that one-on-one time is super important. And same thing within our classrooms. We really encourage our teachers to get down on the children's level and mm-hmm. set up the opportunities for the children and really be engaged in what they're doing and what they're interested in.
My granddaughter's going to turn 6, and I think it was 2 or 3 years ago, I was trying to figure out how to work my iPhone, how to get the flashlight on. And so she was 3 at the time, and she showed me how to work my iPhone. And how does that change the approach from a teaching standpoint? You've got these little kids that know how to they're raised from these little ages of using electronics.
Mm-hmm.
What are you seeing as a trend in technology and the way it's shaping these young people?
Yeah, it's not always exactly apparent, but the kids are different nowadays than they were maybe 15 years ago. And it was a little bit of a shock to me when I got back in it because I had taught preschool 15 years ago and took some time off to teach elementary school and go back to school for some other things. So when I got back into it, it was like, oh, these kids, they're different than they were back then.
Yes.
So it's hard to pinpoint exactly what it is, but
they've got stronger thumbs anyway because they know how to text at a young age. So their thumbs are going to end up being way more developed over time, I'm sure.
So really keeping them engaged, and you kind of always have to be on the cutting edge of, you know, this awesome project is going to be so fun for them and getting them excited about things that are in the real world and not on a phone or a screen.
Lisa Hansen, staying on the cutting edge and growing her business, Growing Brilliant. And I think you're doing so much for our community. You're helping these young people. And I love the fact that you're getting the parents involved. That just sounds so helpful. I want to thank you for coming on the show today. And when we return, we are going to meet Bill McAnally of Bill McAnally Racing, and we will also talk to a couple of his young drivers coming up after the break. Join the conversation on Facebook Live. This is Entrepreneurs Unlimited, broadcasting from Sports 1140 KHTK, streaming live, podcast, and YouTube at HaneyBiz.com. Welcome back to Entrepreneurs Unlimited, presented by Audi of Rockland. I'm Mark Haney, and today I am joined by Bill McAnally, founder and CEO of Bill McAnally Racing. How you doing, Bill?
I'm doing great, Mark. Real happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
You bet. We have had you on before. We talked about your business a little bit, but why don't we get an overview of Bill McAnally Racing?
Well, I am privileged and honored to own a NASCAR race team. We run the NASCAR K&N Series. It's a development series for NASCAR, a lot like the River Cats is to Major League Baseball. I've got 5 young drivers we're working with this season. They've been doing a tremendous job. Matter of fact, we're sitting in a position to clinch the championship. We've been traveling the complete western United States, Denver, Colorado, even to the Midwest, Iowa Speedway. We've been up to Seattle, Oregon, Idaho. And the championship comes down to our final race here at Roseville's All-American Speedway next Saturday night, October 15th.
Wow, next Saturday is where it all goes down, and it's over at it's over in Roseville. So will all your drivers be there? Which drivers of yours will be at that championship?
All of them. I've got all 5 drivers. We've got 5 entries, 5 great teams, great crew members, great drivers. Julia Landauer, our young driver from New York City, a young female driver, had her best ever finish, tied a NASCAR record for being a female driver to finish 2nd in a race, our last race outside of Boise at Meridian Speedway.
And is it an advantage or a disadvantage to be a woman in this sport?
Well, it's definitely a disadvantage on the track.
Okay.
Because the boys don't want no girl beating.
They're more competitive. It's like, it's like wrestling. You don't want to get, if you wrestle a girl, you can't get beat by a girl.
Exactly.
But that's a misnomer because a girl could be a great driver.
Well, and a girl is a marketing goldmine.
Aha.
For all the companies, corporations out there that want a woman to represent them or sell women branded products.
Mm-hmm.
You get a young girl that can get it done out there on the racetrack, you've hit a gold mine.
Now, is Julia going to call in? Do we have an opportunity to talk to her in a little bit? Okay, so we're going to get her on the phone in a second. Well, actually, why don't we bring her? Who do we have on the phone now? We have Julia Landauer.
Todd.
And we have Todd.
One at a time, though.
Oh, okay. Who's coming? Okay, we have one at a time. Yeah, that makes sense. As the new radio guy, I don't know how many calls. I didn't know if we could do a conference call with these guys or not. I'm just thinking it's business. We can do a conference call. Get everybody on the line. We'll have a conversation.
Sure, with just you and me, Mark, it's hard to get an open second to get in the mic. What would you do with four of us on
it? No doubt. No doubt. Okay, so, Julia, do we have you on the line?
Yes, you do. I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, we do. I appreciate you calling in. Now, from New York, you're coming out to Roseville next week to race. What are your feelings about the upcoming race?
Oh, my team and I are really, really excited. We, we had our best performance the last race was second, and I think we had something for the leader, which is Todd. And, we're just really confident in what the car is doing and how well we've gotten it set up. And I'm definitely at the best point of the season so far from my driving perspective. So I couldn't be more excited to go end the season, hopefully with a win.
Now, you said Todd was the leader. He's the guy who's going to come on the phone next. So he's ahead of you then, huh? How'd you let that happen?
I know, right? It was tough. It was a really good race, though. And, to be able to run in the top three and four for most of the night and then to, be up in second at the end. It's great to have a Bill McNally Racing 1-2 finish. Hopefully next time I'll be the number one. But
nice.
Now, for, great night for the team.
From a marketing standpoint, it sounds like according to Bill, you might be doing really well. What's the key to driving your brand, the Julia brand?
Yeah, that's a great question. I've learned quite a bit over my years of trying to develop this brand, and a lot of it comes down to authenticity. I'm a very different type of racer. I'm from New York City. I graduated from Stanford with a Bachelor of Science.
Oh, wow.
And really, yeah, and so really playing to those strengths, I think it really provides the opportunity to reach a whole different group of potential fans that can get excited by racing because of some of the other components of my brand. So really just trying to be true to myself. It's different. It can be tough sometimes, but learning how to promote that properly and, to find partnerships that kind of embody the same values that I have really helps drive the brand.
Wow. I am impressed. I want to meet you. I think you should be running this show. This is incredible. And how old are you, Julia?
I'm 24.
You're 24, Stanford, New York, coming out here October 15th in Roseville.
Mark, and she drives for Bill McAnally.
Oh,
come
wow.
on.
She's got it all going on. Hey, I want to thank you for calling in today, Julia. I'm going to get Todd on the phone here in a second. Do I have Todd Gilliland that can come on the phone? Todd, you here?
Yep, you've got me.
All right, Todd Gilliland, the land. How are you doing, Todd?
Good. How are you?
Good. You get excited for this week's race, or I guess it's next weekend.
Oh yeah, I couldn't be more excited about the whole season. Really, how great it's gone, and then now to be able to be in a position to clinch the championship coming out to Roseville. There, it's going to be a special weekend for sure.
Ah, nice.
Not just clinch your championship, Todd. You're going to be NASCAR's youngest ever champion. We do this, man.
How old are you, Todd?
I'm 16.
16 years old, and you're leading everything, right? How many wins you got this year?
We have 6 Kane and West wins this year. It's been great.
What's the key to winning, sir?
Everyone just at Bill McNally Racing has worked super hard, and it all started in the off season. Really, this time last year, started planning and working on my cars for this year, and they've just done a great job keeping up with everything. We've had a busy season. We've actually ran some Canaan East races also when our Canaan West races are off. But it hasn't stopped them a bit, and they've definitely stayed right with me and never let me down.
Ah, nice. The team. You and I talked about that earlier. Now, Julia earlier in the show said she was coming after you next year. Sounds like you got her a little bit on the wins this year, but she's coming after you next year. What do you think about that?
Oh yeah, she's done a great job all year, and battling with her at Meridian was super special to get the 1-2 finish for Bill McNally, and just kind of being able to go out there and race with your teammates like that is always fun, and I hope we get you next year.
All right, appreciate you calling in, Todd. I know you got a lot to do. Get ready for October 15th, so we'll let you go. But thank you very much. Look forward to seeing you again soon.
Oh yeah, thank you for having me.
You bet. You know, we're back here with Bill McAnally. We only have a couple minutes left. Now, you do, okay, racing is one of the divisions, right? You have, obviously, a tremendous racing team, and you guys are winning. But you also have a business. Or I just took my car over there to get, I guess, rebuilds, my 68 Camaro.
Looks like we shrunk it.
Yeah, I brought in a little model here because I wanted to bring up the fact that, you know, you guys are going to do, like, a fuel injection thing or something. You're going to make my old 68 Camaro really, really hum.
Sounds like Joe got to you.
He did. He said, "What's your budget?" I said, "I didn't have one." He lit up like
wrong thing to say.
I blew that one. I hate it when that happens.
But no, we've got, other than our tremendous race teams, we've got two amazing automotive repair shops here in town. One in Roseville, one in Antelope. Antelope, we've been there for 13 years. Roseville at 900 Riverside, we've been there for 4 years. But we work on all makes, all models. We got great technicians, master techs in there. And it's a great place. Matter of fact, the next dozen people that show up at one of my auto care locations and say, "Mark Haney is the man," will get two free tickets to the Napa Auto Parts 150 at Roseville next Saturday
night.
Nice.
Mark Haney is the man. That does have a ring to it, Bill. I'm not going to lie. I think I'm going down there. I need some tickets. may have to shoot down there. October 15th. Roseville Speedway. I will be there. Now, some of you might be going, "Hey, you know what? I didn't even know about that. I got something else going that night." Hey, that's where you become an entrepreneur and you multitask, all right? You do two things that one night, or you break the commitment and you show up and enjoy Todd, Julia, all the Bill's other drivers, and help the hometown get a W.
I'll tell you what, it's the rising stars of NASCAR. I'll be out there Saturday night, October 15th. It's our championship race, the whole season coming to a head right here at Roseville. It's going to be a great night.
I love it. Thank you very much for coming on the show today, Bill. And I know you brought us the Toyota hats, and I know you're always wearing Napa, promoting the sponsors. I want to thank you for brightening up the show. And bringing your young drivers on via phone as well. But I also want to give a shout-out to three new sponsors. You know, you think about getting a sponsor of a radio show like this. We haven't really gone out and solicited a bunch of sponsors. But when you get a sponsor, it's sort of a proof of concept that you got the right guests coming on the show, that your message is starting to resonate a little bit. We got Ethan Conrad, the most generous guy in the world. I mean, he just gave away $100,000 worth of free rent at a pitch contest. My buddies Derek Chase came away with $20,000. Jeremy Perkins came away with from Precision Medical came away with $30,000. The Glass Guru came away with $50,000. I just think that's amazing that Ethan Conrad and his team are so generous and they're giving away that kind of cash. And I also want to thank Jason Cardinay, my buddy from Galena, came on as a sponsor, and DCA Capital. Thanks, Kurt Rock and Steve Mills, and Mr. Ron Crane for coming on as a sponsor. We do appreciate it. And you don't want to miss next week's show. I mean, next week we got Dwayne Knickerbocker, co-owner and CEO of Brower Mechanical. And my buddy Tim Mulligan is going to come on, and along with Jeff Rizzo, the founder of Rizknows. He's a YouTube-based success story that has only just begun in our region. It's going to be a great show. And I want to thank our sponsor, Clay Evans, Wealth Management Team, Clay Evans and Richard Botkin, you guys over at Stiefel Financial. You know, you got to spend a couple of minutes with these guys. They know their numbers. Pick their brains about investing. Pick their brains about putting your money to work for you. I can tell you, you can trust me on this one. It will be well worth your time. When we return, we will share our takeaways and closing thoughts about mission statements. I will also share a real-world business story about my old mission statement and the crazy way that we activated it. This is Entrepreneurs Unlimited on Facebook Live, broadcasting from Sports 1140, KHTK, streaming live, podcast, and YouTube at HaneyBiz.com. It has been said that there is no more powerful force on earth as the human soul on fire. And I think it could also be said that there's no more powerful force in our business than when our team is on fire. And the fire starts with the CEO. He's got to have the courage to ignite. He's got to have some gumption. You know, I was on the way down to a 49er game with my wife, Stacy, and some other friends from CrossFit. And Gary, the owner of CrossFit, was there. And we were just talking about, you know, how hard you work. And Gary's got some gumption. I mean, the first time I walked into CrossFit, I showed up at 5:30 in the morning, and I was right on time. And Gary told me, Mark, you never get a second chance to make a first impression. And it was like, my first thought was, I'm a little offended by that, but, you know, it ignited me. It helped me. And Gary had that gumption. He sparked something in me that's, you know, obviously I've stayed with it, but, you know, sometimes we get ignited in a different way. Can a mission statement have that impact? I mean, I'm back here with Marcus Haney and Tom Cisneros. We've been talking about mission statements. And do mission statements have an effect? And how do they have that effect? Marcus, thoughts?
Well, absolutely. I mean, just going based on your mission statement, everybody in our entire organization has adopted that, right? So we can all repeat it verbatim. Uh-huh. And
opportunity for our family, friends and community.
And as they succeed, we succeed. Absolutely. I mean, I think that that's something that reigns true in our office. And, you know, we are the people that do practice what we preach.
How about you, Tom? Thoughts?
Well, I personally have owned a couple of businesses in the past, and I feel really, really bad about the fact that I never, ever wrote a vision statement, but I did have somebody impact me years and years ago. It was my coach, Rob Wiltz, from the Squaw Valley Ski Team, and he instilled in me, hey, look, make the next turn the best turn you ever made, which applies in life, not just ski racing, but so I go at everything from the standpoint that that every decision I make, every thought, every action that I do is in pursuit of excellence.
Yeah, yeah. So sometimes a mission statement can have an effect. Sometimes it's an individual that has that effect, but maybe that effect is spawned from a mission statement. Just a quick story about a mission statement that we had in my old business, right? You guys know I built some security camera businesses, and we had a mission statement, and the one thing about that mission statement, you know, we had grown to, I think, about $35 million, and then we moved into a larger location right outside my office, which I wasn't in my office a lot. I was typically in the middle, in the action, in the trenches, but outside my office, in between my brother's office and mine, we had our core values, our vision, and our philosophies, and we had our mission written on the wall, huge, right outside our offices. And, you know, at first, I think they were kind of just words, right? We all just worked, and we came up with a cute little mission statement, and they were nice. They were warm and fuzzy, but they didn't do anything, right? It was like wetting your pants. They don't do anything. It feels nice and warm, but it doesn't do anything. And then one day, we decided, you know what? We're going to pour some gasoline on this fire, right? We were ignited. We were motivated, and we were going to start hiring some people. We're going to grow our companies. And so I used that wall, right? That wall, as crazy as it sounds, was the centerpiece for communicating our strategy. It's so basic, but you have your values and your vision and your philosophies, and moreover, your purpose, your why, right? For us, it was all about opportunity, right? And our mission. And communicating that mission was the key, in my opinion, to launching our company to well over 300 people and hundreds of millions and stuff. And it was a huge success. So how do we, you know, it sounds kind of crazy. I'm the CEO of the company, and I decided I'm going to communicate that mission regardless of, I mean, I am going to wear that mission out. And I would break down that mission into different segments, and I would meet with every new employee that came through the door 4 times, right? On day 1, on day 3, on day 30, and day 60. And I would I would learn first what they wanted out of their life, right? What their purpose is, what was important to them and about opportunity. And then I would talk about what are opportunities that we have in our business. And I would demonstrate how our mission really is the key to achieving both those opportunities. Our alignment happened right on top of the mission statement. There was so much alignment right there in our values, right there in our mission, right there in our philosophy, right there in our vision for one another. And we were pulling for each other, even though we came from different walks of life. And it was that overlap that was so key. I mean, we met with the management team, we called them the family. That was our executive leadership team, which was the divisions. We met regularly as a family. We had our all-hands meetings where we reshared these missions with the entire team. I met with every employee, myself as the CEO, every month, right? That's the CEO's job. If the CEO is ignited, if the CEO has passion for what we're trying to accomplish, that can be shared. That can be spread. And one of the ways to do it, one of the ways that I've had some fun doing it, is through the basics of a mission statement. So for us, it became not just some words on a paper or some words on a wall. It became some action, and we ignited the entire team. And it turned out to be a great success, and, you know, people are doing reunions now from our old company, and it was so helpful to all of us reaching our dreams. And, you know, just as I think about the end of our mission statement then and the end of my mission statement now is the same. As they succeed, we succeed. And it just, you know, you think about results and success and succeeding. You know what? There's no more powerful force on earth or any business than when a group of people come together to do something in a shared mission. I mean, can we agree on something? At least we can agree on one piece of the mission. Can't we agree that if our family and our friends succeed, then we succeed? Can't we agree that as our hometown of Sacramento succeeds and its businesses succeed, we succeed? And can't we agree that as this great country, the land of opportunity, as our country succeeds, we all succeed? And as I send you out to chase your dreams and fight the good fight, go with gumption. Never forget these words. Never above you, never below you,
always by your side.